miracle in my life. Lord, I thank you right now, God, that as people place it in their heart what they need from you. Lord, I thank you that you're meeting every person where they're at. Father, you said in your word that it is not by might, that it is not by power, but God, it's by your Spirit. And so, Lord, right now, I thank you, God, that that same Spirit, Lord, is inside of us. And God, I thank you that you're giving us peace right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to welcome you this morning to God's house. What a beautiful house it is. And I don't know if anybody of y'all recognized when you came into the building, but we got all the old lettering off of the church, and we have got a fresh new paint on the front of the church. It's beautiful. It's going to match our Manna Center. And yes, we're going to put a sign up there, but Pastor is very, very picky, and I haven't seen anything that I've just fallen in love with yet, and you'll know when I do because it'll be on the building, but I don't like anything I've seen yet. And I have learned to not get in a hurry. I feel like somebody needs to hear that today. I've learned to not get in a hurry because that's when mistakes are made. Mistakes are made when you get in a hurry and you just got to have something so you'll settle for anything. Wait on God. Wait on God this morning. Go with me to Matthew chapter 28. We're going to start at verse 16. And we're going to read verses 16 through verse 20. And it says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" Verse 19, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And one of the goals that I have for the ministry here is that we're not doing things out of a routine. We're not doing things and we don't understand why we're doing them. It is very, very important to do the Word of God. And the Word of God tells you to work out your own salvation. You cannot work out Sally Sue's salvation. You cannot work out your kid's salvation. You cannot work out your spouse's salvation. You can only work out your own salvation. And the Word of God instructs you to do that on a daily basis. You got to work some things out in your life. There are things that come up that you don't expect. And when those things come up, you've got to work them out inside of your heart, inside of your mind, and inside of your soul. And so the goal here is that we equip people to be able to do that. And it came to my attention after 5 years, I catch on slowly to some things, but after 5 years, I realized that most, our biggest service is our Sunday morning crowd. And I love that, but the group of people that come on Sunday mornings, they miss communion. They miss communion, and that's not a good thing. Communion should be something that you regularly do, because the Word of God tells you to do this in remembrance of me. And the more that you can remember what Christ did for you, the more that you're going to put Christ into your life, because he did something for you that nobody else could. And so what I want to minister to you about this morning, and a part of, you know, I love when the church is full. We have a lot of people out this morning. Every pastor loves when a church is full. But numbers have never really been my main goal, because God will fill his house. He'll fill it and he'll build it. But one of the main goals is for people to understand why they're doing what they're doing. And that's why we have communion every single first Sunday of the month now, because for everybody that don't come on the other services, it's important for you to have communion. And I encourage you to come on other services. Now, that's not what this message is about. But one of the things, how many of you have ever seen somebody get some oil and lay hands on people and anoint them with oil? How many of you have ever seen that done? How many of you can say that you know why we do that? Okay. My goal after this service is that everyone can raise their hand to know and to understand why we do it. And I know that that may seem very mediocre to you, but you need to understand what's going on in your life and in your church. Because, see, God has given you power. He told you in the book of Genesis, the very first thing that he said is have dominion. Have dominion. What does that mean? He's put you in charge, and you need to know the power that you have, the power that he's given you. So in my first year of ministry, I have pastored. July 28th will be 5 years for me. And in the first year, I encountered this a lot, which was people wanted me to come over and to anoint all of their stuff. Okay? Now, I am a very quirky, weird person. And so if you are a quirky, weird person yourself, you're going to love me because I'm probably the weirdest person you'll ever meet. And what I ran into is people were relying on me to go in their home multiple times and anoint something every time they did something bad in their home. Now, and I'm going to just say this very humbly, but that's not what pastors are for. I had one lady, she had a lot of issues, and every time she did a certain sin, Jill, she wanted me to come over and anoint her house and get all the devils out. Now look here. I did that probably 10 times. And I was wearing myself out. And I thought, you know, God has not called me to be worn out with this stuff. God wants people to know how to do some things for themselves. Because I cannot work out your salvation for you. I can show you how to work it out. I can cheer you on while you work it out. I can instruct you. I can give you some wisdom. But make no mistake, it's really up to you to work out your own salvation. And so about after the 10th time of anointing this lady's house, and I love anointing houses. Don't get me wrong. But let me tell you something. There ain't enough of me to come in your house and anoint everything after you've cussed your husband out or after you've done whatever it is that you do that you embarrassed of after you do it, okay? So, Joanne, I started praying, Lord, what do I do with this particular person? Because I want to be the very best pastor that I can be to them. And God told me, buy some anointing oil and give her a bottle of it because she needs to know how to anoint her own house. And on your roughest days, when you're crying in the middle of the night, when you're down on your knees and you're asking God why, you don't need me, okay? I'm just going to tell you that. I love each and every one of y'all, but what you need is you need to know how to get a hold of God. That's what you need. You can't shake my hand and think you're making it to heaven just because you came to church today. That's not how it works. So it's important for you to understand how to anoint something, why we do it, the power in it. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Anointing things and people are all throughout the Word of God. Go with me now to 1 Samuel chapter 16. We're going to begin at verse 1. So 1 Samuel chapter 16, we're going to start at verse 1, and it says, "The Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? fill your horn with oil and be on your way, because I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." Now, Saul was the king at first, and Saul disobeyed God, and he rejected the instruction of God. And therefore, because he did that, God himself rejected Saul as king. And so Samuel was in a state of mourning because he loved Saul, because nobody wants to see someone dethroned. But see, that's what was necessary, because Saul, the king, would not obey what God told him to do. Not only did he not obey, but he went completely against what God had said to do. And there is a cost to disobeying God. It's going to cost you. See, when God tells you to do something and he tells you to do it in a certain way, and you go and you do that thing, but you do it in a way that God didn't tell you to do, that's going to cost you. A lot of people, God tells them to do things and they do it, but they did it in their own way, and they still think that God's going to bless that. And see, God's not going to bless it. God will tell you to do something, and he will give you instruction. And so that's exactly what happened here. And so God said to Samuel, "Fill your horn with oil and be on your way." So what happened in this situation was that God was preparing Samuel ahead of time. He said, "You know what? Get your horn, fill it up with oil, because you're going to be anointing a new king." And he wanted you to be prepared. Now, today, when you leave this service, each household will be leaving with their own anointing oil. Because, see, God has not just given the ministry power. We're some of the most flawed people you could ever meet. Just shadow us for a day and you'll figure that out. Or work with me on Wednesday and you'll figure it out real quick. Help us, God. But you're going to leave here with one of these, because see, the same power that works in my life, the same power that works in Joel Osteen's life, Joyce Meyer's life, T.D. Jakes' life, see, God is no respecter of persons. The same God that works in people that you've seen and you think, oh, they're just great. See, that power's for you. That anointing is for you. So you're leaving here with one of these. But God told Samuel, he said, "You get your horn and you fill it up with oil, because you will be anointing a king." And so what he wanted was, he wanted him to be prepared. Now, I keep a bottle very similar to this in my car in the middle compartment, because God wants me to be prepared at all times when I need to be able to anoint something, to be able to anoint a home, to be able to anoint a person, to be able to anoint the sick and see them healed. See, you need to be prepared. When you get this today, that doesn't need to sit in your nightstand and collect dust along with your Bible. Amen? You need to have this going in your life and be ready. Be ready. Because there's a lot of people that live in catastrophe, and God wants to let y'all cross paths and you make a difference in someone's life. And so I want you as your pastor to be prepared to do that. And so he says, "I'm going to send you to the house of Jesse in Bethlehem, and I have chosen one of his sons to be king." Verse 2, "But Samuel said, 'How can I go? Saul will hear about it and kill me.' The Lord said, 'Take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do.'" I will show you what to do. There are so many Christians, and they are walking around crippled because they do not know what to do. They don't know what to do. You ask somebody to get up and pray in church, and you think you just shot them. Now, I'm going to just tell you this. I feel like I have learned how to be a very good pastor. It did not happen overnight. It didn't happen 5 years ago, Kayla. It started from birth. Because there was a calling there. But I do feel like I learned from the absolute very best, and that was Dad. Now, there were a lot of times, and there still are, questions that come in my mind and concerns that come in my mind. And Jill, I've gotten to the point in life where I'm not going to call him every single time I have a problem. Because, see, that's not God working through my life. That's God working through his life and coming down to me. And you know what? There's a point in your life you can't live off of somebody else's faith. You can't live off of somebody else's salvation. You can't live off of somebody else's healing. You can't live off of manna that was meant for somebody else. You've got to claim it for your own life. And there have been so many times, Miss Barbara, where I've gone to God and I've said, God, I don't know how to do this part of the pastorship. And you know what? He taught me. He taught me. Don't be intimidated when you don't know how to do something for God, because, see, God will show you what to do. God will show you what to do. There's callings on y'all's lives and you're saying, well, how can I do that? God will show you what to do. You need to listen. And you need to be still, because he will show you exactly what to do. He will show you exactly how to do it. And he will show you exactly when. When. And that's a big deal. A lot of times we're doing the right thing in the wrong season. A lot of times we're doing the right thing in the wrong season and we're wondering why it ain't working out. And it's because we didn't hear from God when that thing was going to happen. Case in point. For 15 years, we believed God for a set of three junky houses over here on the east side of the church. We didn't rush out. We waited 15 years. After 15 years, they were purchased. Took another few years to have the manna center there. Did God always see the manna center there? From the very beginning of time. From the very beginning of time. What God has ordained in your life, whether it's there in the right now or whether it's not, it's there in the spirit realm. Now, you've got to make sure that things happen right for you in the right season. In the right season. That's why I told you, wait on God. Wait on God. He'll tell you when to do that big thing. He'll tell you when you're ready. And so it says, and I will show you what to do, and you are to anoint for me the one that I indicate. The one that I indicate. So God is telling Samuel a very powerful thing. Samuel, you are going to anoint the new king for me. For me. See, when you're anointing something, you're anointing that for God. For God. You are his ambassador. You are his hands and feet and his mouth and his ears. That's why you cannot afford to take a vacation from God. Because when we do, lives just hang right there in the balance. Everybody is preaching their own sermon, every single person. And people are depending on what you're preaching. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate. Verse 4, Samuel did what the Lord said, and when he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him, and they asked, "Do you come in peace?" And Samuel replied, "Yes. In peace, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." And then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." See, man is always looking about what somebody else looks like. So here's Samuel, and he sees all the sons that Jesse has, and Jesse had a lot of sons. And he looked at this one, and he said, "Well, surely this is the one that God wants." In verse 7, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." See, God knows exactly who he's chosen to do what. God knows exactly who he's chosen to do what. "Are these all the sons that you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered, "but he is tending to the sheep." See, his daddy didn't even think to get him out of there because he was the youngest, he was the littlest, he was the most immature. So we just left him in the field to work because surely God wouldn't choose him. And I'm going to tell you something. God has chosen each one of you, and he's given you a calling. Now, there's times where your own family is not even going to believe in what you're supposed to do. And let me just tell you, people ain't going to like this preaching, Lori, but at the end of the day, you don't need your family to come in line with what your calling is. Because they ain't going to agree with every single thing that your calling is going to require out of you. There's going to be times when you're walking in your calling and everybody is coming up against you except for that still small voice of the Lord that told you to go that direction. And you got to think enough about God and yourself to listen to him instead of everybody else. Amen? And so they didn't think enough of the youngest, but Samuel said, "God hasn't chosen any of these people. There's got to be another son." And he says, "Yes, there is. It's the youngest one." And Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent and had him brought in. He was ruddy. Now, when I'm reading this, my first thought when we're reading how this boy looked is, what the heck does ruddy mean? What it means is this right here. Have you ever saw somebody and they've gotten the sweat up, they're working, and their face is red because they've been working hard? That's what ruddy means. And if you need any further adjectives about ruddy, look it up for yourself, but that's what it said in my Google. So he was ruddy. Let me get here. He was ruddy with a fine appearance and handsome features. Well, thank God for handsome folks. The next king wasn't going to be ugly. He's just going to be little. But he's going to be cute. And it says here, "Then the Lord said, 'Rise and anoint him. He is the one.'" He is the one. He is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. This reminds me of Psalm 23 when it says, "He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies." See, what God has for you, he'll do it in front of everybody. What God has for you in your life and destined for you, he'll do it in front of everybody. He'll do it in front of your critics. He'll do it in front of the family that didn't believe in you. He'll do it in front of the daddy that said, "No, just leave him out in the field." He'll do it in front of the people that love you and that have cheered you on forever. See, God, what he's got in store for you, he's not going to do it in private. He'll do it, and he'll do it in front of everybody. Why? For his glory. For his glory. And that's exactly what he did. He said, "Anoint him in front of everybody. He is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the presence of his brothers. Now here's a very important detail. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. from that day on. From that moment on, from the moment that he was anointed to be king, there was something different about him. And the difference was that the Holy Spirit was all over him and that God had anointed him to do what he was called to do. God has anointed you to do what you are called to do. And what you've got to realize about the anointing is this right here. So many Christians get caught up in a web of comparing themselves to other people. I did this a lot in the beginning of my pastorship. I would compare myself to other pastors. Well, that's a hard thing to do when there ain't hardly any women pastors in the town. And God would say, Kelly, stop comparing yourself. I've anointed you to be the pastor here. So there's nothing to compare because, see, nobody else is called to pastor this right here. You can't compare what I'm trying to do here with somebody across the street because, see, the anointing is different. And I'll tell that to you. When you are working in your calling, see, how many of you've dedicated your children to God? Okay? Well, let me just tell you, when you've dedicated those kids to God, you need to not compare them with anybody else. Well, this one over here, their mom and daddy lets them do this. Well, see, it don't really matter what their mom and daddy lets them do. It matters what you're going to let that anointed kid of yours do. When you've anointed your vehicles, and you've said, God, I recognize that you gave me this car, so Lord, help me to keep it holy. God, help me to point it in the direction that you'd have me to go and help people that you'd have me to help every day. Well, then you don't need to be paying attention to what Sally Sue's driving, whether it's nicer than yours or not. I remember one time a few years ago, we were on a Monday night. I had Sister Blabbermouth and another lady. And Sister Blabbermouth has been in my life for a long time, and I am praying that she comes to church here one day. And I had her with me, and we were in my black Palisade, which I loved. There's just something about black that I've just always loved on a vehicle. Well, one of the things that they told me about that vehicle was that you will not find a safer car than this one right here. And they're right, because if I try to hit somebody in that car goes nuts. It stops, it vibrates, it beeps at me, it does all sorts of things. It can even pull out by itself. Nobody even has to be in the car. I just touch a button and that thing just pulls itself out. If I get in a tight spot, I just push the button and it'll just pull its little self on out. If I want to get in a tight spot, all I got to do is get out, push the button, it'll put itself in there. I know, it sounds crazy. But that car, the moment that I got it, I told God, I said, God, this is your car. Lord, every moment that I get in it, every moment that somebody else gets in it, I thank you because this car is anointed. It's got one of your pastors driving up in it. So God, I thank you that everybody in this vehicle is protected. Lord, I thank you that everybody that sits in this car, God, they're highly favored. Lord, when they step in the car and they sit down, they feel the anointing and the peace of God when they come in there. Well, to make a long story short, we were delivering food one night, and me and Sister Blabbermouth were standing at the trunk. Now, I call her Blabbermouth because she's one of my absolute most favorite people in the entire world, but she talks every moment that she's awake. Every moment. Every moment. Every single moment. Okay? Yeah. There's never a moment where she's not talking. And me and her, we were standing outside of this of the car, and we were getting those meals. And she was talking. The other girl in the car said, had this look on her face. She was turned around looking at us, and I saw like a glimpse of just horror on her face. And she said, "Y'all watch out." And she was screaming. And I looked out of just the corner of my eye, and I saw a big old school for handicapped kids coming right at us, just backing up. They were in the driveway right across from us. I looked at Blabbermouth. She was still talking. I shoved her to the ground and literally stepped over her body. And that bus hit that car so hard that it raised that car up off of the ground with the other girl in it. And for the first time in Sister Blabbermouth's life, she was quiet. And I went home that day, and I was shook up. And God said, "You know what? You said from day one that this was my car, that you were my pastor, and I spared you because you honored me." Stop being shook up about it. Stop thinking all these thoughts. Nothing happened to you. Not even a hair on your head was affected. When you anoint something, you set it aside for God. That's one of the reasons why we anoint things. That's why on Mother's Day we went over to the Manna Center and we laid our hands on the walls of that place and we dedicated it and anointed it and gave it to God. See, whatever you give to God, He'll hold it right in the palm of His hand. Whatever you choose not to give Him, it's slipping through almost just as soon as you can bet. Everything that we want to hold back and we don't put in His hand, He ain't keeping it. So it says, from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. I want to tell you this morning that God has given you power. Go with me now to Mark chapter 6. We're going to look at verse 12. In verse 13, 12 and 13. And it says, they went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Going to read that one more time. Verse 13. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. So when you're in a church, and you don't have to be in a church to do this, don't get me wrong, but if you see somebody and they're saying, "I'm sick," or "I have this," or "I have that," and the pastor or somebody says, "Well, come up here," and they get out the oil and they begin to anoint that person, we're saying, "God, this person, we thank you because you're healing them. We're putting this anointing on there." See, the power is not in the oil. I want to bring that out. The power is not in the oil. Okay? I'm going to have to say this because it's hilarious. I know a person and they went to a Catholic church and they stole some of the holy water. Don't come up in this church and steal my anointing oil because I'm going to send you out with some today. But I don't want you to mistake anything The power is not in the anointing oil itself, but the power is behind the faith. The power is behind the faith when you pray and you anoint. You're not going to, I can't pour this out on my checkbook and say, I'm getting $1 million today. I wish I could. It's not in the oil. It's in your faith behind it. It's in you knowing enough about the Word that the Word will tell you you can lay hands on the sick and get them healed. We just read it. They laid hands on many sick and healed them. That's the kind of power that God has given you. Go with me now to James chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 13 through 16. Is any of you in trouble? He should pray. This sounds like some great advice. It didn't say, if anybody's in trouble, get on Facebook and tell us all about it. Or make a TikTok video about it. Or a blog. Or a reel. No. It says, if anybody is in trouble, he should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. Okay, so we see in the name of the Lord, we saw Samuel, and God said, Samuel, you're going to anoint the king for me. And we see here in the Word where it says, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. That's why many times you'll see someone, and as they're anointing someone, they will get the anointing, and they will touch their head or whatever they're anointing, and they will say, in the name of Jesus, give this poor man with three kids peace and rest. In the name of the Lord. For the Lord, in the name of the Lord. So when you anoint, keep that in mind. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. Not the anointing oil. The anointing oil isn't going to make the person well. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. What does that mean that you need to have when you're anointing sick people? Faith. There's no use in laying hands on somebody with oil and praying for them if you don't believe that God can do what you're asking him to do. Now, Brother Larry Baker has been an elder here for a very long time. Brother Larry, would it bother you if sick people called you and needed you to come and pray for them? He's about to retire. I think he's going to have some time to do that. But it says, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If you're in a season of your life, right now, I want to explain something, and I know that people have been saved for, some of you have been saved for 30 years, and you're thinking, why are we going through this? Because, see, not everybody under this building has been saved for 30 years. And if they have, maybe they ain't sat under a pastor that cares, that they understand and know what the Word of God really means. Now, you don't just have to have an elder pray over you. Because at the honest to God truth is some of your prayers need to come from yourself. There's people and you're in a season specifically where you need a healing inside of your body. And see, you need to be saying the word of God over your life. And I'm going to read it again. Anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. When you leave here today, if you've got something going on in your body, I encourage you, get your anointing oil. Get some of it on your hands. Sam does this every time he comes in the building. Brother Sam comes behind the pulpit. He gets the oil and he anoints himself. But see, if you're in need of something in your life, in your physical body, you need to learn how to anoint yourself and pray over your own body. And say, God, in the name of Jesus, your word said that you would raise me up. So, God, I'm not going to doubt you. God, I'm not going to question why you let it happen to me. But, God, I'm going to stand on your word that said that you and you alone are going to raise me up. So, God, if it takes a week to raise me up, I'm going to wait a week. Father in heaven, if it takes a month, I'm going to wait a month. God, if it takes a year, I'm going to wait for the year. But, God, I thank you that you're never, ever late. You're never late. You never tarry. God, I'm going to stand on what you've said that you would do. Lord, in Jesus' name, you're about to raise me up in Jesus' name. See, you need to learn how to anoint things for yourself. You need to learn how to work this part of it out for yourself. I personally believe you can anoint many, many things. When I was 14 years old, I've actually been working since I was 7. But when I was 14 years old, I got a hardship and I began to work at Dairy Delight. Now, don't tell me that kids can't hear from God, because they can. That's why you ought to be bringing them to church. And for everybody that don't think that you need to go to church, you can have church on the lake, you need to get inside of your Bible. And this really message ain't for y'all. It's for the people that ain't here. Honestly. But when I was 14, I anointed my wallet. It was a silver wallet with glitter in it. And I anointed it. And I prayed, a 14-year-old can do this, angel. And I said, God, in the name of Jesus, I anoint this wallet. I anoint this checkbook. I had a checkbook when I was 14 years old. And I said, Lord, I'm handing the finances over to you. And I asked God that you'd make finances come from the north, the east, the south, the west. Lord, I want to buy my own vehicle. God, I don't want mom and daddy buying it. Lord, there's not a lot of satisfaction in that. God, I want to do that on my own. When I was 15 years old, a year later, I sat at the old Dodge place and I bought a check for $1,475. And they told me the amount. And I was sitting with Dad, because you couldn't even buy anything when you were that young by yourself. So we sat. And I handed him my checkbook, and I said, I don't even know how to write that on a check. And he had to move my tithe check to be able to write that. This ain't a message about tithe, but I'm going to tell you something. Don't tell me that God can't do something inside of the hearts of children and make a difference, because he sure the heck can, and that's exactly what he wants to do. God can work. See, your kid don't have to sow a bunch of wild oats. Now, I sowed a fair share of mine, but you see, you don't have to do that. When you anoint your children, yeah, you can come up in the church and we can anoint them and dedicate them to God, but see, you should be anointing them all the time. Why? Because, see, life is hard out there for them. They got things going on that we didn't have to deal with. go with me now to Psalms chapter 23. The next thing that I want to share with you is the fact that you are anointed. You are anointed. Psalm chapter 23, verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. This is David, and this is what he's saying to God. I'm going to read it one more time. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil, and my cup, it overflows. Before you start thinking how you're the worst person in the world and how you've made too many mistakes and how you've gone too far and how God couldn't use you or you, all this stuff is messed up in your life because of what you did 5 years ago, 10 years ago, what happened in your marriage, what happened when you was raising your kids. See, before you get really hard on yourself, you need to read the Word of God and you need to see where He says that He anointed you. He anointed you. You anointed my head and my cup overflows. So when you're facing something difficult in your life and you don't see how you're going to make it out, say this verse over your life. Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you because God, you said in your word that you anointed my head and that my cup overflows. Well, a cup of what? Anything that you need. Anything that you need. If it's a healing in your body, God, my cup overflows with healing that is coming into this body right now. Whatever it is, but I want you to realize that you are highly anointed to the fact where God Himself anointed you. He anointed you. I was praying for someone a week or so ago, and I left there, and I thought, it just amazed me as I prayed for this person, because this person had three daughters around their bed, and I thought, how amazing for that person to be on their bed about to meet Jesus and have their children surrounding them. And I left there and I began to pray for the daughters. And God began to say, Kelly, I have anointed them to be in this season for their parent. See, if you're going through something hard, I want to tell you that God has anointed that season in your life. He's anointed that journey. He's anointed your life. You can make it through. But God has anointed every aspect of your journey with Him. Last place for me this morning, before we take communion, we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 61. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 3. And it says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. See, it's not just about the pastor doing all the preaching. You're all preaching. Don't make any mistake of it. He has sent me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. See, God's anointed you to be able to do these things. Verse 3, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness and a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. Right now we're going to transition this service into communion. If you are able to get on your knees and make an altar where you're at, do that. The word is very clear about communion. You need to examine your heart. If there's any sin in your life, if there is something in between you and God that needs to be confessed, this is the time to do that, to prepare yourself to take communion in a holy way.